positive enlightenment. All you need in one place, here at HRNradio.com.
Good morning. You're listening to Guiding Stars Evolutionary Astrology Radio. This is your host, Kristen Fontana. Guiding Stars is an interactive, soul-centered astrology talk show using the symbolic language of evolutionary astrology to enlighten and empower you on this journey. If you've missed any prior broadcasts, there's an archive here at Healthy Life, and that link is right next to the Listen Live button that you clicked on to hear this show. And we only store those shows for so long, so if there's something you missed recently, go ahead and grab a hold of it before it's gone. We'll keep updating that archives for you. Also, if you have any comments or suggestions or you want us to discuss something specific on Guiding Stars or teach something within the EA paradigm, please email me through my website and we'll do what we can to share and discuss that and teach that on air. If you are a new listener, we want you to know there's a website for you to learn more about evolutionary astrology. The website is schoolofevolutionaryastrology.com. And within the website, there's a wonderful learning forum and a message board where you can post questions or participate in ongoing practice threads. So we welcome you there. Also, if you're interested in becoming a more serious student, we do have a correspondence course available, which entails the, it's the very first course taught by the founder of EA, Jeff Green. It occurred in the 90s, but it's a series of 27 DVDs. And again, it's an original course with all the information just loaded with everything from the very basics, looking at evolutionary astrology, or from the wheel from Aries to Pisces, from an evolutionary point of view, to working through the paradigm, getting into relationship work, synastry, composite. It's an incredible body of work that's available to you just for you to learn on your own or if you are interested in becoming certified. So check it out if you haven't on the website. All right, well, this is our last show of 2017. My gosh, I'm here with Rose Marcus, as we are here every year, or every last Wednesday of the month, but every final show of the year, to share a little bit about what you can expect for the year to follow, in this case, 2018. How many years have we been doing this? I'll have to figure that one out. I'd like to welcome Rose back to Guiding Stars. Welcome back.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I hope everyone has had a peaceful Christmas and that they're looking forward to 2018.
Yeah. How many years have we been? Has it been at least 10?
Oh, I don't know. It has been a very long time, probably 10, yes.
Somewhere around there. But, yeah, I think we've been doing the show maybe 15 years at least. But anyway, it's always wonderful to have you here. And looking in, we're not only going to look into January of 2018. Rose will share some more things further into the year that you can prepare for. How about that? So, anyway, anything that you'd like to.
I appreciate you, and I admire you as the fabulous astrologer that you are, and the heart that you put into everything you do. So, thank you for being you.
Oh my goodness. You make me cry. Thank you for being you, Rose. And I just feel so honored to be able to do this work and to share it with, you know, anyone who's ready. Because as we know that once you get into this work, into this journey, we never stop growing, do we? We're always being pushed to grow. That's what we want as souls, to evolve. And so it is an honor. We're all in this together. And so it just does help to know what's in store for us and how we can tap into the energies to support our growth and evolution, to be better ourselves on this journey, to give it to others more because of it. So thank you for that, and thank you for bringing all that you are to the show every month. And it really I very much enjoy our time every month, Rose. So
me
thank
too.
You.
Me too, me too.
Do you have anything to announce that you'd like to do that right now before we get going here?
No, just carrying on. I might have some new things up in the new year, but I have not scheduled them yet, so I'll let you know when they do come up. I am doing a workshop in Seattle in, I think it's March or April. Information about all that stuff will be on my website. So.
Great. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So here we are at the end of the year, and we have yet to go through New Year's Eve, and the moon will be in Gemini on New Year's Eve. And I just really felt the holidays this year to be a little bit toned down. Didn't you kind of feel the same way, Kristen?
Well, yeah, with Saturn moving into the sign of Capricorn and, well, Mercury moving direct on the 23rd, of course, but that's definitely going to put a little damper on things, I think, or just a serious tone. And, of course, the things going on in the U.S., just politically, how things have shifted or in the process of shifting. And it just creates a more serious energy in general. I mean, Saturn hasn't been here in almost, well, 29 years about, so a little bit over that, I think. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. We're pre-recording this, but New Year's Eve is still on the way, and enjoy it as you will. The New Year's Eve just seems like, you know, kind of an average night, I would think. You know, just do what you normally do and enjoy it and play it safe. But when we get to January 1st, we have a full moon. So that full moon is also a super full moon, and it happens in the evening, and just after midnight on New Year's Eve, you know, first thing on January 1st is a Moon-Saturn opposition, so it might be a night to wrap it up early or so on, but we do have a super full moon in the sign of Cancer on the 1st of January. So, of course, that's going to trigger, you know, anything emotional, and I think that certainly at the first of the year, we're looking back and looking forward, and, you know, perhaps there's some regrets about, you know, what took place over the year, or, you know, some nostalgia, some fond memory, you know, whatever it is. I think it's a mixture of emotions, right? Mm-hmm. But as the day moves on, you know, we start out with that kind of sensitivity, but there's a good flow to the end of the day, I think. So, so if you find yourself on a sensitivity note on the first, or I just say it's the moon in Cancer, full moon in Cancer, so you know, do more self-care and more caretaking on January 1st. You know, relax as best as you can. On January 2nd, we have Uranus stationing direct. And Uranus has been retrograde since August 2nd and turns direct on January 2nd and will be moving in direct motion to about August, I think it is, of 2018, and then it will turn retrograde. So Uranus is in the sign of Aries. And we've just had Saturn move into Capricorn, which it did on the 19th of December. And, of course, Saturn in Capricorn is going to be with us for the next couple of years. We already have Pluto in the sign of Capricorn, you know, the evolving reality, I think, here with Saturn moving into Capricorn. As you said, you know, there may be a more sober tone, or, you know, there may be all of that feel of, you know, life is getting serious, and we're now starting to see, you know, how things are shaping up. I also like Saturn because Saturn is a builder archetype, right? You know, so I always, as we say, make friends with Saturn. Saturn will reward you. You know, do the work, get the reward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saturn's transit is not to be feared, because I think that when you do face the reality and you deal with it as is, you can harness it to your own benefit, correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
So this is about getting real. And Saturn in Capricorn, it's the archetype of time, right? Time is ripe, you know, it is a right time. You've come to a mature moment, you know, you've been, you know, this is a time frame of significance. You know, you have arrived here at this moment, and the time is right. So you have to ask yourself, are you ready for that time is right moment, right? So with Uranus moving direct, the super full moon on the 1st, Uranus turning direct on the 2nd. Mars is in the sign of Scorpio, and on the 6th, Mars and Jupiter line up. The 6th of January has got just a host of planetary contacts. Uranus and Mercury are in trine. You know, I think that the first half of January is really a hit-the-ground-running timetable.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so
that whole weekend, you know, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, first 10 days look very strong to me. I mean, of course, the full moon just brings everything out to the surface emotionally and, you know, feeling emotionally, feeling everything emotionally at that point is kind of as you pull into the new year. And when we are feeling in full, then things tend to happen, right? Anything that's been repressed, too, under the Capricorn Sun or anything in your life that you haven't really been dealing with will come all the way to the surface, and then with Uranus stationing direct the next day, there's such an energy of movement. It's like a catalyst taking all that emotion, taking all that energy and wanting to do something about it. I actually really love the combination of Jupiter and Mars on the 6th, 7th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. I mean, I like Mars in a new phase, which of course occurs on the 6th, late on the 6th. In part, like, and I'll share this too, Rose, you know, if somebody said, hey, Kristen, what are your top five favorite planetary combinations, this would definitely be one of them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
You know, in EA, we talk about Mars leading the way, right? It's the gas in your tank. It's like lighting a match. It's the thing that gets you out of bed every day. And so when you put Mars in Scorpio, which is ruled by Pluto, Pluto and Mars being brothers, they very much work in tandem, Mars being your ego, Pluto being the soul. And so that Mars in Scorpio, which is ruled by Pluto, is going to really access the deep within you. And joined by Jupiter, it's the depth of your truth and your nature. It's a very honest energy. It's a very authentic, expansive energy. I mean, put it in any sign in combination. Jupiter and Mars is so auspicious and potentially fortuitous. Not always. It can expand the negative if you're not careful. It's just about what you're energizing at that time. So I would just say watch what you're energizing. If you want, obviously, something positive to happen, steer away from any, you know, steer away from anger if possible, or any kind of energy wanting to get back at somebody for something. I mean, it's really more about being able to take the energy and bridle it and make it work for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that January 6th coincides also with Mercury in Sagittarius trining Uranus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so wonderful for the inspiration and the aha moment and the being able to pierce through, which is what Mars and Jupiter do as well, too, in the sign of Scorpio, right? You know, so that's wonderful for mobilization and for being on target with the instincts, don't you think?
Yeah, wonderful. Following.
Wonderful, yeah. Wonderful. And yeah, just to remind listeners out there is also what I've said. Uranus turned retrograde on August 2nd and turns direct on January 2nd. And on August 21st, we had that very dynamic total solar eclipse, right, which was 27 degrees of Leo. And what I've said about this period of time from August, that August eclipse, to the eclipse that we're going to have on the 15th of February, which is a solar partial eclipse at 27 degrees Aquarius, is that this period of time from August through middle of February is a creative potency period. So now we have, at the first of the year, and it has been, it's a time of more potent seeding and everything that's being taken place over these past few months and that, you know, is shaping up right now, you know, it's more dynamic. And we have this super new moon, and we have Uranus turning direct on the 2nd. The beginning of the month is also a trigger for the lunar eclipse at the end of the month as well, too. So we've got this potency factor going on right now with Mars, Jupiter on the 6th. Now, you mentioned the 8th. On the 8th, 9th, We have a new phase of Venus and the Sun. Mm-hmm. Venus will be on the far side of the Sun. It's called a superior conjunction. That superior conjunction is, you know, Venus and the Sun are never very far away, right?
Right.
So the only relationship that they can form at that point is a conjunction. But you can sort of think of that as an opposition because Venus is on the far side of the Sun, so it's a distance from us. And Venus and Sun starts a new relationship cycle. This one will take us right through until the fall as well, too. It's a 9-month program with Venus. In terms of that, it is Venus is the evaluation planet. It's relationships, and it is about evaluating the creative component of that. So this is a very, very dynamic, few days from the 6th to the 9th. Both the Sun and Venus are also in aspect to Pluto, which makes this a very, very, very dynamic time frame for launches that have to do with new goal setting, new ways of relating, again, on an intimate level, on a social level, on an economic level. You know, it's all the whole nine yards. So this is an excellent timetable. If you've been kind of swirling around in 2017, and I think 2015, 2016, 2017, you know, so I've had, you know, kind of a personal sense of, what's next? What's next? What's next? You know, like, is other shoe going to drop? What's going to go on here? And we're now coming to a time frame with all this Capricorn energy, that new Venus Sun's in the sign of Capricorn. We have Pluto, which is already in Capricorn for the whole year of 2018, aspecting its own south node, aspecting the south node of Saturn as well, too. This is a whole year of moving into, its endings and beginnings of significance. It is setting a reality base that is going to lay the foundation from which we will build for a significant period of time to come. So that the 8th and 9th, the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th are an incredibly auspicious time for taking action, for launching it, for setting new goals, for implementing your New Year's resolutions, for all of that, right? It's very, very potent.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to add to that I really love, and I agree, the first 2 weeks of January are extremely strong, stronger than I've seen in years, I have to say, right at the initiation point. It seems like in recent years we've had some retrograde going on, or I have memories of saying the new year doesn't start till February, you know, because everything's lagging and dragging. Very much not the case this time. And what I love as well is that Jupiter and Mars being conjunct in a new phase, again, this is setting something in motion that will allow you to grow and expand inwardly or intimately with someone or on a project or plan that you have, any kind of endeavor, passionate pursuit, that means something from you very deep within, not something superficial. This is something that's going to help to facilitate your evolution if you are aligning with something that, you know, in some cases may take a lot from you, a lot of courage, a lot of initiation. But I love that Mars and Jupiter are sextiling that Pluto, Sun, Venus on the 9th in particular, I think is when it finally makes that new phase, 8th, 9th. Because remembering that Pluto is a ruler for Scorpio, so we've got Jupiter and Mars conjunct in the sign of Scorpio. Those two planets are sextiling the ruler of it, not just the ruler, but the Sun and Venus. And you put the Sun and Venus together, and it feels good. You put Pluto with the Sun and Venus, and, well, who knows what can happen, right? It's intense. It's life-changing, potentially. It's metamorphic in nature. Most importantly, you need to know that that trinity of energy is being very well supported by Jupiter and Mars. So, you know, with a pure intention, with a conscious choice-making, occurring, it can be phenomenal for anybody.
And that's exactly that Venus-Sun phasal relationship is now becoming more conscious of all of that. So, yes, those dates are incredibly auspicious. Incredibly auspicious. So if you haven't got anything planned, go out and do something on that day, you know, talk to somebody, spend some time meditating on what new goals you'd like to put in place for yourself, right? You know,
it's definitely a time to make a move, you know, if it's something you've been thinking about wanting to do, a conversation you've been wanting to have, or in some way needing to sell yourself in some direction. Just putting yourself out there in a courageous way, perhaps. That feeling of having nothing to lose, it is about, making a move. Make your move. That's what I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Make your move.
Yeah. So, and really quick here before we move to a break, Mercury will be just about pulling out of its shadow as well. Not quite, but almost the very tail end. So, especially with Mercury trining Uranus still within range there, you should have nothing in the way. All right, well, we'll be right back with Rose Marcus right after the break.
Podcast to help you reach your positive potential. HRNradio.com.
All right, we have returned. I'm here with Rose Marcus, rosemarcus.com, to check out your forecast or to connect with her for a reading. And she's done a beautiful overhaul on her website. I love it. There's so much there. You can find out where all the planets are. I mean, just the way that you organize your forecast, letting everybody know to the minute, to the moment when things are changing. Anyway, I love it. And there's all sorts of articles there that you can read and expand your knowledge about world events as well. I love how you tune into those and include the astrology behind all that. So anyway, rosemarcus.com for those of you who have not been there to check it out.
Thank you.
Looking at the transits for 2018. We've been discussing the first 2 weeks of January because they are loaded. They are loaded.
Yeah, very loaded. And I have to mention that the full moon on New Year's Day is the most intense super moon of the year. A couple of the eclipses are also super moons later on in the year, but that's the most exact. So know that, again, it just adds to the intensity of hitting the ground running as soon as we get through the holidays. You know, we don't want to waste any time. And you're absolutely correct. Last year, the start of 2017 was Mercury retrograde. It was, the year did not get started at the beginning of the year. It took a while.
I think in the last 2 years have been like that. I can't remember. I'd have to go back to look, but
I think you're right, actually. I think you're right on that. It's been a slow start, but we don't want to waste a minute of this when the stars are so opportune in this first period of time.
I wanted to mention something. You talked real quickly and go back to the January 1st. When people hear full moon, they kind of panic, super full moon. I guess it depends, really, on what sign it's in and all of that. And, of course, being in Cancer, which is ruled by the moon, it becomes intimate to all of us. But one thing I wanted to share when looking at it, I mean, it's only within 2 degrees of making an exact trine to Neptune at that time. So everybody knows that, when you've had a good cry, it just feels better. But there's something about a release of energy where things have ballooned to such a degree and you finally have a way of either surrendering to something. Maybe you've been trying to control the direction of your life in some way, or there's a relationship in your life that just feels difficult, and so you've just been fighting tooth and nail for it to go in this direction or that, and finally you just throw up your hands and say, I surrender. I'm waving my white flag, and there's something about, as my mom used to say, oh, just give it to God, honey. She just had these one-liners that killed me still, but in a good way. Yeah, but it's something like, okay, I can't take this anymore. Here, you're handing it over to the gods or the guides, right?
Yeah, I just think that the full moon starts with stress, but the stress portion of the full moon is mainly at night while we're all sleeping or coming home from our New Year's parties. So be careful with roadblocks and so on. But the evening, that's at, you know, the moon is trine Neptune, and it's also trine Mars. And on the second, you know, we have the sun and Neptune in trine. So I think that the day gets better as it goes on. So I think by evening we should feel pretty cozied up on that day.
Okay, good. Well,
yeah,
you know, one thing about the moon is it moves pretty quickly. So talk about the moon in Cancer feeling like moody, right? And then it's just what a difference an hour makes when the moon is in Cancer, for sure. We can go through all sorts of emotions under this energy, so just prepare for that. And sometimes, too, I think just at this, well, I know at this time of year, moving into a new year, we're all reflective about years gone by, or maybe people that aren't here anymore in our lives, or how life has changed and how fast time is flying by. And there's so much that goes on in the soul, you know, when you're looking at life in terms of time frames and how we have a new year and what are we going to do about it. So I think there's just really going to be this dance between, you know, what's behind us, or feeling like even at that point in time, the feeling of running out of time. Okay, what do I want to do now? And so I feel you're right that it's going to be mixed with emotion and followed by a desire and action to do something with this year. Keep the ground running, like you said, I think.
Absolutely, you know, absolutely. And so as we move on, you mentioned Mercury. You know, Mercury is out of shadow on the 10th. It moves into Capricorn, and on the 12th, Mercury and Saturn come together, the 12th of January. And because of the retrograde that we had in December, this is the third hookup of Mercury and Saturn. And so this is kind of a completion phase for them on the 12th. So that was November 27, December 6, and the 12th of January. So it's kind of again is another completion phase on getting set up. So the last two conjunctions were evening, and January 12 is a morning apparition. So again, I think that Mercury and Saturn together, teaming together about getting real and about making it real and about, you know, making a commitment and starting to get a legitimate plan together for yourself and, you know, starting to, as you said, you know, put it into action. And we're moving through that weekend into a new moon on the 16th. So we are, you know, moving our way along through the month as we have talked about. On the 19th, of course, we have the sun moving into Aquarius and moving along. By the time we get to the end of the month, we have our first eclipse of the year, and it is a lunar eclipse at 11 degrees of Leo, and it is again a super full moon. Super full moon. So the month opens on a super full moon, and it ends on a super full moon. So the one on the 31st is an eclipse. So when we have eclipses, then we have this magnetic resonance period of time. And again, we have already Uranus going direct, and we have that new Venus Venus-Sun phase. We have a lot of other things going on, Mars-Jupiter new phase, to make this quite a potent month for implementation and for getting a move on that super full moon on the on the 31st of the month. Trying to find my my notes on it. You know, it is a full moon in Leo Aquarius on that day. Mercury also moves into Aquarius, and again, we're on a fast trajectory as we finish the month and move ourselves forward. So eclipses are always more intense cycles. This one is a total lunar eclipse. In 2018, we will have five eclipses all total. We will have three solar eclipses and two lunar. The three solar eclipses are all partial eclipses, and the two lunar eclipses are totals. So generally when we have these eclipses, it depends on if it hits on your chart, if it makes a direct contact on your chart, if you have fixed degrees at 11 Leo, Aquarius, Taurus, or Scorpio, then the 31st eclipse is going to be a big one for you. Venus and Jupiter are intensified on that eclipse. On the 31st, the moon is conjunct Ceres, and Ceres is at 11 degrees Leo, and Venus is just made a conjunction with the south node at 16 degrees Aquarius. The nodes are at 14 at that point in time. So Ceres is a planetary energy that I always think of as a new cycle or a new season or a resurrection. You know, it's a new life force energy coming in. So it's a good time for a renewal energy to take place here. Mars will be in Sagittarius at that time. Again, the creative potency of the moment is very, very strong. So this gives, great assistance to any creative endeavors or anything that has to do with recentering, coming back to heart center. It's a lovely transit for renewal of the heart. Let me put it that way.
All right. Well, we're going to need to jump to a break quickly, but we'll be right back for more in 2018.
Lighting the way with positive energy and love. HRNradio.com.
All right, we have returned. I'm here with Rose Marcus, rosemarcus.com. She does wonderful monthly and weekly forecasts and readings as well. So we're looking into 2018 and discussing currently that, well, the first eclipse that you were talking about, of course, they come in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let you take it from here.
Yes, and of course the eclipses are happening along the karmic axis, along the nodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the south nodes in Aquarius and the north nodes in Leo. On the 31st, we have a full moon, a super moon, moon in Leo, conjunct Ceres, conjunct the north node, and the Sun and Venus, which are new phase, straddling the south node. So again, a really excellent time for personal reinvention or material reinvention as well, too. You know, it intensifies the whole year. We'll have these nodes traveling through the Leo-Aquarius axis right through until the November when they will switch. But again, this is going to accelerate you breaking free, liberating yourself in some way, reinventing your life, your lifestyle, how you show up for yourself and how you show up in the world as well, too. So very dynamic. This eclipse on the 31st is also eclipse is also conjunct the north and south nodes of Neptune as well, too. So I do expect that the economics of the world, you know, all of that kind of stuff, when the north and south nodes of Neptune are being emphasized as well, too, we have something that is collective or it's global or, you know, it's mass consciousness. And I think that we're in an accelerated phase right now of the collective consciousness being reinvented. You know, again, it's about the projection of our belief systems and how we've been manifesting reality based on the projection of those belief systems, and how we are now in a more rapid state of making radical change regarding such as we're moving
mm-hmm.
ourselves forward, right? Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, most definitely. And so as we move into February, then I mentioned the solar eclipse, which is on the 15th of February. That's 27 degrees of Aquarius. So if you have planets that are at 27 degrees of the fixed signs, then, you know, this is a solar eclipse. Again, it's in the sign of Aquarius. So, again, another opportunity to reinvent the wheel in whatever way, or to liberate yourself, or to to free yourself from whatever it is that has been holding you back, or that has, you know, that is, you know, if you've been held back by fears, or, you know, and so on. You know, this solar eclipse is a really good transit for catapulting you in a brand new direction. And as we know that solar eclipses do that, they often surprise us with something.
I wanted to share too that, you know, the solar eclipse is in Aquarius, the ruler for Aquarius. We always look to rulers, how these things get driven forward and where they are in our life. The ruler for Aquarius is Uranus, and Uranus will be forming a very beautiful sextile to the eclipse. And so that's a very electric energy. It is spring-loaded. You know, things can move faster than light or the speed of sound or whatever you want to say. And that's just a Uranian phenomena. Same with an eclipse, something unexpected. It's interesting too when you combine, or you connect it to the pair of eclipses that we had in August. A strong Uranian emphasis, right? So I don't know. There's a little bit of an energy of a revolution I can also see here too.
Absolutely, and also on that eclipse, we have Mercury and Juno, the contract asteroid, aspecting as well, too. Mercury's 25 Aquarius, Juno's 26, and the eclipse is 27 Aquarius. So it's quite a strong lineup. Mercury brings in something specific and key. You know, Juno is the contract asteroid. I always say that that's the covenant that you made with yourself. The idea of revolution, or, you know, it's Aquarius, so it's got to have something to do with social revolution and, you know, collective evolution. You know, there's really a lot of dynamic going on there. And, yes, you pointed out the sextile with Uranus. And Uranus is finishing up. Of course, Uranus is the ruler of the South Node. We have that eclipse is new phase to the South Node. We also have at that point, you know, Venus, when it is conjunct the Sun, it's out of sight. We can't see it. By this February 15th eclipse, Venus is again showing herself. So again, we have, and Venus will be in the sign of Pisces at that point. We have Mars and Neptune in square, and a lot of dynamism going on with this eclipse as well, too. So it could be a sudden, you know, sudden switch track, or a sudden, you know, it could be something very, very dynamic for you personally if it happens to hit on your chart. And I say watch what's going on in the world, because there's certainly, you know, we still have a lot of intensity going on everywhere on the planet regarding, you know, the social landscapes and, you know, Aquarius rules things like rebellion, and it also rules terrorism, and, you know, and Aquarius also, too, when we see things along this line, also, you know, is the weather as well, too. We've got a lot, you know, it's very, very dynamic. And I wanted to mention that in 2018, of course, we already have had Saturn move into Capricorn, so, you know, that's a huge transit, and anybody, you know, that's a 29-and-a-half-year transit, so if you're, you know, around the age of 29, 30, then you're going to be having a Saturn return. If you're at the age of around 56-ish, then you're going to be having your second Saturn return, and that's a, you know, a very, very important transit, as most of your listeners will know out there. You know, it's another timetable of solidifying and crystallizing that new reality. And Saturn is a duality planet. It brings to culmination a complete cycle, or a complete era of your own evolution, while it is also formulating, seeding, and building for the new reality. So we're doing two things. We're coming to the end, and we're also coming to the beginning, right? You know, mm-hmm. a whole new format. So that's a whole piece. Uranus in 2018 is going to move into the sign of Taurus. Now, we've had Uranus in the sign of Aries for the past 8-ish years. And so Uranus moving into Taurus is huge news. But I wanted to say that, and that will be mid-May through mid-October. And so Uranus is now direct as of January 2nd. It's at 24 degrees of Aries. So while it's in its latter degrees of Aries and moving into, it goes up to about 2 degrees of Taurus before it'll retrograde and go back into Aries from about mid-October to, I think it's beginning of March of 2019, where it will go into Taurus. And Uranus's transit through Aries and Taurus are lengthy. They're, you know, eight-ish years. So we'll have Uranus and Taurus for quite some time. But Uranus is also, as it's finishing up in the sign of Aries and the beginning stages of Taurus, forming relationship to the north and south nodes of Chiron. So, Chiron is going to also move into another lengthy transit through the sign of Pisces. Chiron will move into the sign of Aries in 2018 as well, too. So both Chiron and Uranus will dip into new signs, Uranus and Taurus, Chiron into Aries, around the same period of time. I think Chiron's April 17 to August, I'm sorry, September 25th, I think it is, roughly that period of time. So we are really going to experience, a real new format in 2018 in terms of what we are dealing with and what we're being confronted with, and the platform that we're standing on and what we have to work with as well, too. So it is a huge year ahead. Uranus aspecting Chiron in Aries. Uranus in Aries, of course, this has been a whole period of time where, kind of like I've never been here before. I don't know how, I don't know how to take the next step, right? Uranus in Aries is reinventing, it's always been, on the cutting edge, moving us forward. As we move into the sign of Taurus, this is two things. Uranus in Aries and Taurus is about reinventing again what we value, what we find value and meaning at. It is again about discovering our new resources, and it's all about new survival as well too. So we've got a lot to talk about. I heard the station break, so maybe I'll stop here.
Some thoughts on that too, but I'll share them right after this.
The Bright Side of Talk. HealthyLife.net.
All right, we have returned our last 8 minutes for 2017, offering you little pearls of wisdom to prepare you for this next new year. And, on the heels of what you were sharing, Rose, with Uranus in Taurus, the window between May and, in particular, September, I realize it's going to be in Taurus till October, but that tighter time frame from May until mid-May till September, it will be in a trine to Saturn. We talked a lot about Uranus and Saturn trining each other in fire signs, Aries and Sagittarius this year. I spoke a lot about this connected to securing a change. Very different when you move it from fire to earth, because it will solidify something. It will, it does become more about, maybe less about what you're feeling fueled and passionate about, and more about how you can take what you've been passionate about and make it real and turn it into matter, so to speak, turn it into something you can touch and taste and feel that it's something that can sustain the test of time, something that you may feel forever changed for experiencing maybe when those planets were in the sign of Sagittarius and Aries. And remember Uranus and Aries being about initiating something new and trailblazing into your future. So I definitely feel like it's something that you can sink your teeth into, something you can count on. It could be something that sounds so outlandish and crazy in a way, or something you never would have thought of, or you can't believe you're doing this now, but wow, well, it looks so good on you, right? It looks so good on you, I should say. It will look so good on you.
It is stabilizing as well too. While we have all this fire sign, it's all risk, it's all experimental.
Exactly.
It's all of that. As we move into the to the earth element, Uranus and Taurus, Saturn in Capricorn, then we get to make that real. We get to see what it is. It is about stabilizing it. It is about sustaining it. It is about, seeing its worth and seeing what's real and seeing what is tangible. So, you know, what is it now that I actually have that I can hold on to and build from here? So, you know, it's an excellent transit for that, and we have this extended period of time to do that. While those two are doing that, by the way, Saturn and Chiron in Aries is they're square. So we have this nice trine from Uranus in Capricorn and Uranus in Taurus. Saturn and Capricorn are forming a trine at the same time that Chiron in Aries is squaring Saturn. So what I think about that is that there's no turning back, that whatever groundbreaking is being done is solidifying. Chiron in Aries is accelerating, and it's moving it faster along. It's kind of like, you see those movies where, you know, they're over the rickety bridge and, you know, and it's falling apart as they're running, or, you know, it's kind of like the fire is traveling behind you, you know, you can't go back, you know, you have to,
right.
You have to keep going forward. It's kind of like that. And so I think of Chiron and Aries supporting that journey by busting up the concrete, by making it real, by putting it on the edge, and again continuing to enforce risk-taking, right? You know, making it real in a certain way that you know for real that you cannot travel backwards. You know, you've changed, it's changed, and you are here now, and you have to deal with the here now. But Chiron in Aries, you know, I always think of Chiron as an opportunity transit as well, too, because it creates a potency in the moment. So, the reality of the moment is tangible, and it is potent, and it is rich, and it is being supported by that trine between Saturn and Uranus in Earth.
Hmm.
Yeah, so, you will have to, if you feel, you know, the combination of Aries and with the Earth elements here gives you enough to keep it fired up, you know, to keep it fresh, to keep it freshly fueled, and that's a good thing. Right.
Well, the Chiron, and what month in particular? I know in February it will be trining Jupiter.
It moves from April through September. Into Aries.
Into Aries at that
same
time.
Yeah.
Right.
And exactly so the same time that Uranus and Taurus are at their strongest trine, Chiron and Saturn are at their strongest square.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty dynamic. Very, very dynamic.
Hmm.
And then as we move through the year, as I said, we have our eclipses. And, we'll move through those as well, too. I'm just trying to find my paper here. On the 13th of July, we will have a partial solar eclipse. That partial solar eclipse is at 20 degrees Cancer. And that puts that eclipse right on the north and south nodes of Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, we have a dynamic solar eclipse in the summer. The five eclipses are January 31st total lunar, February 15 partial solar, 27 degrees Aquarius, July 13 partial solar, 20 degrees Cancer, July 27 total lunar, 4 degrees Aquarius, and August 11 a partial solar at 18 Leo. So those are all, you know, the high points of the year. We have so much going on in 2018, but again, as we said at the beginning of the show, January is a really great month to, get moving on it.
Well, we are going to be together every last Wednesday of the month to help shine a light on things for you and to show you what's coming specifically for that month. We're trying to give you a little bit of taste of 2018, but gosh, there's so much in January that, of course, you can look into the
further into the year, I do like the Uranus Saturn trine and Earth signs, May and to September. It's really important to anchor yourself in an energy that you know can support you instead of worrying yourself into a tizzy about something that may, you know, be problematic. It's all about leaning on your strengths. And, of course, for those of you, by the way, or who are thinking a lot about the Saturn and Capricorn transit, it's really going to support a lot of the Earth and water signs in particular because of the nature of the aspects it's making. But all the other signs will be in a position to grow.
And, you know, the other thing about Saturn in the sign of Capricorn is it is its home sign. It is
exactly.
A natural sign. Any planet that is in its home sign is at its best.
Exactly.
You know? So as we said with Saturn in Capricorn, it is a builder archetype. It's a manifesting, it's a materializing archetype, and it is a time is right archetype. So I actually, you know, bad rap all the time, and I think we shouldn't be afraid of Saturn. I think we should work with him instead.
Yeah, I mean, the big piece to all this is just about taking responsibility for everything you've done in your life and everything you're going to do moving forward. I mean, as souls, it is our responsibility to be and do what we came here to be and do, right? Exactly. It's just like...
Absolutely. It's your choice to do or not to do. You know?
But Saturn in Capricorn, I do feel will create an energy where people will feel it's just finally time. I can't wait another moment. And so I want to take responsibility for everything that my soul wanted to do moving into this life. And because at the same time, it creates this feeling of running out of time. So I do feel it will bring people more deeply into their purpose and more present in their relationships and taking everything more seriously because every moment matters. And that's how you look at this next month coming forward. Take that chance and make your move. Thank you so much, Rose. You were awesome, as always. I love having you here on the show, and I'm excited to gather with you again next time. And I just want to wish everybody a happy new year, a very safe new year, and I look forward to gathering again in January. Namaste.